Okay, here we go. All right, last week we were in the middle of Kotzer. We had spoken about the different practical applications of Kotzer, which again was cutting, detaching something from the ground or from its source of growth. We gave a few different examples. The main example is detaching something from the ground. I think we spoke about one or two other things also. Maybe it wasn't here.
We ended on the grapevine. The tomato vine, the lulav branch.
Right. So again, most people say that those things are, that's not included, meaning that it's only cutting something from its source of, actual source of growth from the ground or from a pot with a plant or something. But if you detach a grape from a cluster, that's according to, that's assumed to be okay. There is a question about dates, which we will not get to now, but maybe relevant to other later malachos. We get to Boer. The Shmir Shaz actually talks about it in terms of Boer. Here in our halacha, he basically just says it's okay, and then he says look earlier. And I don't remember exactly where it is earlier, but when we get to Boer, we'll talk about it. There was some question about dates, about attaching dates from the cluster, but maybe that was a bit more of a problem for some reason. But in general, those kinds of things are usually assumed to be okay. We spoke about walking through the grass, right? That we spoke about, I think. If you're walking through the grass, is generally okay. You can even move the grass back and forth. The only question was if you walk through very, very tall grass where there's a serious concern that maybe if you walk through the tall grass that some of the grass is going to fall out. I thought we said it's a machlokas.
Soccer is not okay.
What?
Soccer is not okay.
If that wasn't last week, I think that was already 2 weeks ago.
Oh my gosh. I'm still thinking about it.
Still in your, yeah, you can't get out of your mind, right? Okay, so anyway, that was all last week. So this week we're going to speak about the Durabanans that have to do with Kotzer, and we'll try to get to Ma'amer as well. Ma'amer is very short. Hopefully we'll be able to finish that. So in terms of Kotzer, there's a couple different practical halachas that are Midraban that Chazal came up with here to try to enforce the and protect the Daraisa. So they're all mentioned in Shimam and Vav. Let's start. So I guess we can go in order. Maybe we can see Shimam and Vav Sif Aleph. Okay, and since Shimon is about to sip Aleph, so we have basically one or two practical applications here.
The Shulchan Aruch is organized by Sif and Sif Katan, that's organization. Simon and Sif.
Simon and Sif.
Okay.
Yeah, Sif Katan is what they refer to as for the Mishnah Berurah.
Okay.
Not that different, but usually the Sif is the.
This is Ein Olam, is that what it starts with?
So we're going to start, we'll just read most of the Shulchan Aruch straight. We're going to skip some parts of it, but you'll get the main idea here about the important things. So he says, Ein olim b'ilan bein lach bein yavesh. Okay, so this is, I guess you'd call this practical application number one. You're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. Okay, this comes from the Gemara in Erevin, and it doesn't matter if the tree is moist, is dry, whatever it is, you're not allowed to climb into a tree on Shabbos. Okay? What's the reason for that?
Yeah.
So the reason is that the Gemara says we're afraid that that if you, you remember this, right? This is pretty famous. Go into a tree on Shabbos, we're afraid that you may, walking around the tree, you may accidentally come to break off a branch. And breaking off a branch from a tree is which malacha?
Kotzer,
right? Very good. That's what we're learning now. It's Kotzer, okay? Breaking off a tree, a branch from the tree is Kotzer. So Chazal were concerned, again, it's a good concern, you know, some branches are stronger than others, but definitely it's possible. But when you're walking around the tree, you may break off a branch. So if that's the case, then again, we're not going to go into this now. The Mishnah Berurah talks about if it's like totally dry, Kfar Nisiyavish L'gamrei, meaning it's not at all moist, meaning it's like totally, totally dry. And maybe it's not alive anymore. Maybe, you know, some are Mekil.
Why? It's not a tree.
Maybe it's not considered to be.
Is it detached from something alive?
There's no moisture in the tree at all. The gam nashu olava nafavu verosav. Okay, and the leaves and the branches and the fruits are all fell off already. I mean, the tree basically is dead.
Yeah.
There's nothing that you could possibly pull off because it's all offering, basically.
The branches are off.
Yeah, it's basically like a big stump, like a big tall, yeah, whatever. Okay. He says there are also many people hold that it's still usher. And he says some are makel in the summertime when you can tell, everybody can tell that it's dry. But again, that's not the most common case, so we're not going to really focus on that right now, even though I just read it to you. But again, the most important thing is that again, you can't climb trees on Shabbos. Now that, I think, I don't think anybody here, and most adults are not going to be going to climb trees on Shabbos in most situations. However, most children, of us have children, and many children climb trees on Shabbos.
That's
okay?
A dreisa?
Would you say?
That's a
dreisa. So, no. So I just said, this is all, these are the durbanos, okay? If you want to organize it, this is what we'll call practical application number one. Okay? Kids and
adults.
So
this is a fence. This is a
moth.
Yeah,
it's a durbano. This is again, a moth. Correct. That's what we said. It's a concern that you might come to break off a branch if you let somebody climb in a tree. So again, kids climbing trees on Shabbos sometimes. Not every kid, but now that you know the halacha, maybe you knew it already before, you have to make sure, you have an obligation to make sure that your kids do not climb in trees on Shabbos. Okay, just as an example, I saw just the past Shabbos, you know, I think we were in the, one of the big park by the shul, which is near our house, and I saw two kids, you know, down, you know, in between the path and the park, you know, just going into a tree, just climbing up a tree. So, again, you know, there's a shiloh, and it's not for now, there's a shiloh whether it's not your kid, are you obligated to tell them? The answer is it could be that if they you think they might listen to you, maybe you're obligated to tell them. But in my case, you know, I don't have good luck with these things. At times that I've tried to tell certain kids not to do certain things, they never listen to me. So I just gave up. I don't try. It's not worth it. It's not your kid. They often won't listen. You know, there are other kids also I used to see doing this, and I sometimes used to say something.
If it's your kid, they often won't listen as well.
That's also true. But you still have an obligation to tell them.
Then you,
you still have to tell them anyway. Even if you know they won't listen, you have to tell them.
Oh, yeah.
Even you the only question would be, again, if certain halachas, if you know for sure that 100% they're not going to listen, then maybe it's better not to tell them so they don't realize it is usher.
Like, I haven't let the Jack in the Box about soccer yet. I haven't.
Right. Okay.
Say,
so that's I think I mentioned this also educationally to figure out, you know, what the best educational method of doing it is. If it's something which they're going to get up more upset about and get mad at you, and then maybe you have to wait till the right time. But at some point they need to know that's a problem. So here also, again, at least your kids should know that it's that climbing the tree is absolutely usher on Shabbos. Okay. That's number one. Number two. Skip. Let's skip a line, and we'll come back to the line in just a second. All of Elon the Shabbos, okay, skip one line. And it says, if you went into a tree on Shabbos, okay, you violated the halacha, you went to the tree anyway. So again, there's a lot of details here which we're not going to go into, but just to get the basic sense so you realize how severe this is. Okay, what do you do now? So look what he says. He says, B'shogeg mutar leirid, if you didn't realize it was usher, okay, then you're allowed to go, you're allowed to climb down the tree, come back down. B'mezid, but if you knew that it was usher and you went up anyway, you know what? Usher leirid, you can't leave the tree. You've got to stay in the tree the entire Shabbos. Oh my gosh. All right. So, again, that one they're for sure not going to listen to. But just so you, the point is, you realize how, you know, this is a severe thing. The rabbis weren't playing around here. Okay. They made a halacha, they made a rule, they stuck to it. Okay, they said, if you realize that you did something usher and you did it anyway, then you are not allowed to walk to the tree on Shabbos. All right. Just, there is a possible way out here that I saw in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, if you haven't.
Look it up. Was it the Imbala? Was it Membe Ayyud?
Where are you?
Membe Ayyud, the Imbala.
Omiba Odyom. Yeah, I mean, again, we're not going to go into the details. Now, here he says that if you went up before Shabbos and you were in the tree when Shabbos began, so then maybe you can come down. Then he says it depends on whether you, if you intend to go down before Shabbos, you didn't intend. Again, that's not very common. The kids are going to be on the tree right when Shabbos starts. So we're not going to go into those halachos right now. But you see, they're there. They discussed it.
So what about a tree house?
Okay, this is a good question. So we'll have to talk about the next different practical aspect of this halacha. Most probably it's going to be usher. But we'll have to see some other halachas here to make sure. Same thing. Going in a tree. I was about climbing in a tree.
No, you were about breaking branches. You're gonna. It's about using the tree.
That's the point. That's the other aspect. We're gonna get there. There's two questions. Okay. Number one is climbing in a tree. Number two is using the tree. So that we'll get to in just a minute. Okay. I just want to go in order here in terms of the concepts. So the Shmir Shabbos has an interesting thing. Shlomo Zalman Orbach pointed out here on the footnote. Nobody has it, so I'll just read it. I'll just tell you what he says. He basically says, I just saw this today. He says that even though Chazal said if you went into the tree on purpose, on Shabbos, intentionally, then you're not allowed to come down. But he says there's another option. He says, think about it this way. Okay, if you're sitting in the tree, you're going to have to move around a little bit. So just sitting in the tree by itself still violates the malacha. The only reason they didn't let you come down is a knas, is a penalty. But let's say there's a way to come down without moving around in the tree. So he says, basically, that, let's see it right now. Basically, he says that, here it is. He says, if there was a way to basically jump down from the tree without climbing in the tree, he says that might be okay.
Like a fire department standing underneath you. Basically. Would, something rather
yeah,
than to.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
he says, basically, yeah. Basically, it says the problem. It basically says that Rashi in the Gemara, where this came from, explains that the problem with coming down from the tree is that anytime that you try to come down, you're going to be using the tree, and that's also a problem. So he says maybe, Rosh Shlomo Zalman says maybe that if you jump down, just a straight jump straight to the ground, maybe it's okay. Mm-hmm.
But the tendency is to push off.
What'd you say?
The tendency when you're jumping is to push off.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Correct. Yeah, no, you're right.
Free drop
it's not so
without,
simple.
At least.
Not so simple. Okay.
I mean, is there an issue of, just practically speaking, is there an issue of Bikuach Nefesh that a person can only stay in tree so long? I mean, if you're, you probably can't sit there all night and sleep safely, just fall and hurt yourself.
I hear what you're saying. I didn't see that in the halacha, but okay. you have to tell me, meaning.
I don't know.
You feel whoever you're talking about is a real question.
Yeah, I think
they're falling and hurt themselves.
They're staying in tree literally all night. That's pretty tough.
You're talking about a three or four year old, and you're probably right. You're talking about a 10-year-old that would actually listen to you.
That's amazing.
Again, I don't know what to say. I wonder. Maybe there's room to say if it's a katan. Maybe you don't have to use this knot. Maybe the knot is only for an adult, not for a kid. I didn't see.
Who is quoting this saying that you cannot climb down? Where's that? Where's
the source? No, Rosh Zalman is saying that maybe you could. I'm sorry, you can't climb down. It's in the halacha.
That's a halacha.
That's the Shulchan Aruch, who just read.
And the Shulchan Aruch is saying specifically it's a knas.
Yeah, so he says, the Mishnah Berurah explains that it's a knas. That's a penalty. We're not. But Rashi has a slightly different idea that maybe it's. Because you might move. You're moving the tree when you climb down also.
Where is it say it's a knas? Just in the text?
It says. Where is it? In Sivkat on Zion, Mishnah Berurah, he says, "Asur be'reid ad motzei Shabbos to kansin onle." Because we give him a knas. So again, what Rashi's pointing out is that even if you, the knas is you can't come down, but at the end of the day, once you're sitting in the tree, you're still moving the tree around, and you're still maybe violating the same iser. So what Rosh Lozan is saying is the knas is maybe climbing down the tree, but maybe if you jump down, then you actually through that situation, you actually avoid. You prevent yourself from violating the malacha the rest of the time. Yeah, maybe that's better. That's what he's saying. Anyway, hopefully, it shouldn't be the situation.
Right.
But that's the story.
But you're saying that the problem coming down from the tree is that you're using the tree, and that gets to the treehouse question.
Yeah, correct. So we didn't get there yet. Okay. All right. Next point. Go back to the back a line in the Shulchan Aruch we read before. We skipped before. He says. Okay, in addition to not climbing the tree, you're also not allowed to use anything which is attached to the ground at all. Again, that's not so daft that we're going to see that. That's in a second. There are some limitations to that. But in general, something which is like a tree type of thing, you're not allowed to use it if it's attached to the ground. Why? Same idea. Maybe you're going to go climb up the tree and detach a branch and take something off. So,
and it really makes sense because mechubar lekarka could be, a tree is mechubar lekarka, but a little branch, a little thing that you just pull with your two fingers, also mechubar lekarka.
Okay. So look here. So look what he says. There's some limitations to the rule.
A signpost.
Right. Well, that's the whole.
Connected to the ground.
That's not. It doesn't grow though.
It's not growing. It's connected to the ground. It's just an ambiguous wording.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So it's talking about mechubar lekarka. Mechubar lekarka means it grows. It takes its growth from the ground. He says here that I missed the line also before. He says "Ein nislinbo ve'ein mishtamshin v'luchor v'karka klo." "Ein nislinbo" means that you can't hang from the tree, and "mishtamshin v'luchor v'karka klo" means you can't use the tree in any way. So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, this is very important. Look in Sifkatan De and Sifkatan Gimel in the Mishnah Berurah. So he says here in Bet and Gimel, the Ein Nislin, the Hu Adin, the Ein Ishanim Ismachan Bo, based on the Gemara, that you're also, in addition to not hanging from a tree, you also can't lean on a tree. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we'll see later, there may be some cases where it isn't allowed later on in the Siman, but the principle is definitely there. You're not allowed to lean on the tree, put all your weight on the tree. All right, very important point. And in Mishtamshin Bo, what are the Mishtamshin Bo? You can go on, you can't put an object on the tree. Or you can't take anything off the tree. And you can't tie your animal on the tree or anything like that. All right, so this is very important. Okay, Eidish Tam Shabbo means all these different things. You can't do any of these things with a tree. So, according to this, I'm trying to see, I don't remember if this came up later in the sermon also, but we'll take it from here, from the Mishnah Berurah here. Actually, yeah, it comes a little later in the Rama also. But for now, just take these applications. All right. So again, leaning on the tree, we just said. All right. In addition to that, okay, putting an object on the tree, you cannot put an object on the tree. All right. Something you want to put down the tree for whatever reason, that's not allowed. Same idea.
Like hang your
shirt. Yeah, sure. You want to hang your shirt or your jacket, who knows what. With whatever reason you want to do that, you're not allowed to do that. Mm-hmm. But how we're going to you also can't take anything off the tree. So that is also mentioned later in the Rama, in the same sif that we were just reading. The Rama also says later, if you see where the Rama is in Sif Aleph, he says, "Daf Adam Shal Lasham Aval Im Hiniach Sham Chepet Mi Ba'od Yom." Okay, I mean, basically, he's distinguishing between the case we talked about before about the person that went into the tree before Shabbos. But that might be okay to come down. But he says if you put an object in the tree before Shabbos, then you're, even if it's before Shabbos, you're not allowed to take the object off the tree on Shabbos. All right? And by the way, it's not just if it's put there before Shabbos, if it falls there on Shabbos, also it's a problem. So basically, just the practical case that he spoke about, and I think Shabbos talks about this case also. If let's say a ball falls into the tree, gets stuck in the tree.
Mm.
So the halakha is you're not allowed to take the ball out of the tree on Shabbos. Same concept, you might climb up, we're afraid you might climb up the tree and break a branch. Meaning, let's say you jump up, you try to get the ball down, and in the process, either you break off a branch, or you can't quite reach. You say, okay, I can't reach by jumping up, I'm going to try to climb up the tree to get it down.
You can't throw another ball into the ball.
Say that again?
The ball is stuck in the tree, so you take another
ball.
That's
a good question. If you throw another ball to make it hit the tree, so just certainly you're not allowed to do that to cause part of the tree to come off. That's for sure not okay.
Right.
That's the same idea of kozer. But if you did it in a way that nothing from the tree would actually fall off, and just the ball will get dislodged,
you know.
So that...
Oh, that's very hard. The tree is full of leaves.
Right.
If
that's a problem.
Leaves. It's very hard to throw something with
a... I'm thinking like you use your elbow or something. But this is... If you're going to hit the ball, you're going to hit the leaves around it. If the problem was moving the ball away...
Yeah, okay, I hear what you're saying.
Unless you have a tree, let's say you have
if you say it's an
unusual... No leaves on it.
If you say it's an unusual way of removing it, it's still a branch.
Right.
Unusual way of using it, that is different. I mean, say if you have to use an electrical door... back out or whatever. They had weird stuff they did in New York when they had situations. Okay. If that's a situation where it's indirect and, you know, indirectly knocking it off would be better. I don't know that.
Okay, no, so that case is actually in the Gemara. They talk about kotzer, one case where you throw something up, a piece of dirt, you throw it up to the tree, you knock down a date. So that's kotzer deraisa.
Okay, but that's a date which is attached to the tree.
Yeah, attached to the tree. I'm saying that it would be the same thing if it's a...
They hit the ball.
What you're saying is even if it knocks down a branch...
That's a playing ball. That's playing ball because the ball gets lodged in the tree.
More realistically, a frisbee. You can't take it
down. But one, because they're concerned you're going to knock...
You're going to pull a branch.
Oh, you can't take it down just because the tree is being used to hold it. You can't take it off once it's in the...
It's a gazira. If you try to come take off the ball, you might come to... pull out some of the part of the tree as well.
There's something in Rama I didn't understand. It says, "Also the Talmud Mishnah." Okay, and the Rama here says, "Mishnah Shabbos." Okay, "V'chol zabilan ukiyotzibo." About kanim
harachim. Oh, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that in just a second. Okay, very good. All right, I was just going in order from the Mishnah before. So to that point, that's basically we have our points. Okay, we have our can't go in the tree. You can't place anything on the tree. You can't take anything off the tree. And the last example he gives is about tying an animal on a tree. We don't have animals, but we do have animals. Okay, anybody that ties a dog to a tree is going to be a problem, according to this. All right, and that seems to be usher. Okay, tying a dog to a tree also would be a shiloh. However, there may be one kula that we'll talk about in just a minute. There are a couple exceptions to the rule of certain cases where maybe these zeros don't apply. So one of them is what Steve mentions. You know, Rama says, the kol zeh be'ilan v'kayotzibo. Aval chadim harakim ki harak mutar lishtamish b'am af al pi shemuchav mechuborim b'karka. V'im sur lishtamish b'yarek. So the Rama says, thank you for coming. Good to see my email to come late. Happy. So if you have basically like something, how do you say, translate kim harakim? Basically anything like a piece of grass or vegetables or anything which, you know, sways back and forth, which are very thin, right? Those are permissible to use on Shabbos, even though they're also attached. Okay, any certainly shtamish b'yarek, the isra of climbing in a tree and using a tree only applies to an actual tree. It doesn't apply to these types of vegetables or shrubbery or grass or something like that.
So you will see that the likelihood of detaching like a blade of grass or a flower is much greater than detaching a branch.
Right. So
isn't that problematic?
What we said before is that Chazal made a gzeira in the case of trees.
Right. Because the Davi you'd want a stick or something. A bit like the Davi you'd want a stick.
Right.
But they're
right.
not concerned that you're going to like accidentally come to catch a flower.
Right.
Or a little,
right.
Branch.
I think that's it. And we saw this a lot of times. We talked about walking through the grass. We said walking through the grass is okay. Why? Because maybe you're not making use of the grass.
You're walking, you're not making use of the grass.
The point is, it's not your intention. Okay, so it's a darshan miskat. It's not definite that it's going to happen. That's not your intention.
Okay.
And as opposed to the case of the tree, where it could be in some of these cases, we're worried not just of the fact that the branch might fall off, but maybe you're going to specifically try to take off a branch. Uh-huh. That's also an additional concern. That's what they say here. Okay.
Let me ask you, what about the case where you're walking through places wooded? Like, you know, even on the path to Kiva, sometimes, you know, the tree branches block the path a little bit.
Right.
But pushing the branches aside so you can walk through, okay, is that problematic?
If you directly push it with your hand, that might be...
The trees on most of this block on Shaha, let's say, to get to the minion, they're very low. I mean, they're... to my chest.
So what is it? You just kind of walk through with your body, and if it gets pushed,
either walk around them, or if you have to walk through them, I guess try to walk through them, and then if it happens to be, you bump it with your body. But you should not use your hand. Yeah, it seems like
your body pushes out, but not
using your hand. You just go in the street if Shabbos.
No, we're able to go around. We're able to go around, it's definitely better.
Well, you don't have a choice. You know, if you want to go to the shul and you have to go through a wooded path to get to the shul, and that's the only way you go. Okay, they don't go to shul, you go to the path. There's the club.
Yeah.
For example.
So the truth is there. The issue there is less the question of kotzer, more the issue of muktza. Okay? I'll read you the Shmuel Shalom's Kachasa here. It's in Perek Chavav Halacha Yid Aleph. He says, it's based on the Shulchan Aruch, which we didn't read yet. But it's later on. Once you ask the question, I'll tell you where it is. We'll read it later. Okay. Basically, later, in the context of part of the halacha that we're going to talk about, the Rama says you're allowed to touch a tree. Even though we're talking about moving the tree is a problem, touching the tree is okay.
Right. So this is Dafka moving, that's the only reason you're touching the tree.
Right, exactly.
Leaning is touching.
Right. So what?
Leaning is touching.
Right, leaning is worse. Okay, leaning is worse than touching it. Okay, so that's what we have to flush out these halachas, which we'll get to a little later as we go through the Shulchan Aruch here. But that's where one could be makula if you were touching. The problem is if you move it. So as he points out here, the Shmur Shabbos explicitly, and that's from the Mishnah Berurah later on. The problem if you move it is really more a question of muktzah. The tree is muktzah. You're able to move the tree when it's muktzah. Okay, touching it and leaning on it, by the way, would be a problem even if you don't move the tree. It's still a problem to lean on it because that's part of the Yisur Bishtav, which is B1. And even though yes, we're not concerned if you lean on the tree that every single tree is going to break. But once Chazal made an Isser that you can't use the tree, that's included, and that's it. End of story. There's nothing. You know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. That's the Gzera. Okay, very good. So I think we covered most of the practical points in Siv Aleph here. The other things I was just going to say, so we have one exception that we just mentioned now, that grass, we said, in other grass tools is not included in the Gzera. You're allowed to touch grass and move grass around.
Bushes, meaning not trees, bushes.
It's like you see a hedge that's 50 feet long.
Would that be a tree or a grass?
I think that's considered to be grass.
That's considered grass.
And they say you're allowed to sit in it, you're allowed to move in it.
So a ball in the bush, what did we say about that?
The bush seems to be okay. The ball is right in the bush, you could pick the ball up. Yeah. There's a few halachas here.
I understand that one, just for the record.
Again, so there's
a category.
It's a category.
And what is a bush then?
So a bush is probably like the case of the yarek here. Okay, again, the yarek, Rama says, is kinit kanim harakim.
Yeah, the is definitely.
Okay, reeds which are thin like a vegetable, okay, those are allowed to use. Mutuli shtarikim, ahoish mukhbar makarka. Those are, basically the gzera. The Chazal made the Gzera, they made it only for trees.
Okay.
They were less worried about these things. Okay. They said it's okay. The only thing is, that's basically the story. They talk about here in Mishnah Berurah, if they're going to get hard at some point, maybe it's not, maybe it's usher, but I don't think, most of our cases are not talking about things that are going to get really hard.
Is that because a reed is very bendable?
Yeah, so that's part of it, okay? That's part of it. In the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat and Tezvav, he just says is included in shrubbery, meaning that reeds are included in shrubbery. And basically from the halacha of Siv Gimel, which we read last week, walking through the grass, we said the Chazal basically were not gozer. All right, and part of the reason why they weren't gozer is because they're very bendable and very easily movable, and it's not so common that it's going to actually fall off. All right, that's basically what we said. Yeah. The only thing is... Okay. Yeah, okay, all he points out here in Sid Gill, which we didn't read last time, is let's say you find, like, on your shoe, you find, after you're running through the grass, you find, like, pieces of grass on your shoe or something like that. Mm. So that's a question, because there, once it's detached, it's mukta. Meaning, if it's still attached, we said before, the grass, you can move it back and forth. That's not such a problem.
Oh, interesting.
But once it's detached, it's actually, it's mukta, like everything else, like grass and trees and stuff like that. So you have to be careful to you can't move it up, remove it with your hands. But again, other than that, so we said that, again, grass is different than trees. Trees are mukta, trees cannot be moved. The grass and vegetation and shrubbery and stuff like that is not included in the Zera. Okay, that's one exception to the rule. The other exception to the rule is within trees also. Okay, if it's a low part of the tree, it might not be included. If we look at Siv Bet here, all right, Siv Bet, he says here, it's also from the Mishnah of the Gemara in Yerivan, Sharsha Ilan Hakvoy Min Haaretz Shlosha Tzvachim, Asur Lishtamish Behem. Okay, if you have a root of a tree or a stump or whatever it is, which is higher than 3 tzvachim off the ground, you can't use it. However, Pachos Mikan Mutar Lishtamish Behem. If it's lower than 3 tzvachim off the ground, again, 3 tzvachim are approximately 24 centimeters or so. I never remember how many inches it is. You have to
8 inches.
Okay. I never remember how to calculate it. Okay. So it's lower than that, so it's mutter. Why? That's considered to be like the ground. Mm-hmm. And that's just not included in the zero. They said that has the status of the ground, and therefore it's fine to use it. You're allowed to sit on it. And all that kind of stuff.
And then, is this only roots, or would it be even branches?
Trees, all trees and branches also.
And then, like, you have, like, these big trees that have branches that really come back down to the ground.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Okay.
Resting
on the ground.
They say that, look at Siv Katan Yudchet in the Mishnah Brura, he says, Hu adin anaf shaliwan. Okay, the same thing is true about a branch of a tree. If it's samuch lakarka, pachas mishlosha tefachim, if it's lower than tefachim on the ground, and I think somebody says here, they say exactly your case, if it's like here, and then it goes down like this. Okay, it's here and it goes down, up and down, or straight down. Whatever it is, the part that's lower than 3 tefachim, they say that you're allowed to, then the gzera does not apply.
It was Yud Aleph, you said?
What did you say?
Yud Aleph?
In the Mishnah Berurah, it was Yud Chet, what I just read.
Oh.
Okay, and Yud Tet also.
Is it Shlosh Tefachim, the top of that branch or the bottom? Let's say you have, you know, a tree with a big branch that rests on the ground. The branch itself is more than 3 tefachim thick, but it literally is resting on the ground.
Right.
So
that's what I have to check. I think if it's
You see some of the, particularly like in the south, in Florida, there's a big old live oak where, you see sometimes a branch
and
big.
Which word?
Some more
Okay, so.
I'm Dan Sigelman's. We had this question come up. That little place where the water behind the Daniel Sigelman's was a root that was eroded.
Yeah.
It was 1 3 tefachim off the ground. We couldn't use that one to climb up. And there's a shortcut between, you know, Daniel Sigelman's.
There was
a root that was washed away underneath it. So it was 1 3 tefachim. We just could use it as a step.
So I saw your case somewhere, and I can't find it right now. Who knows where it was? I'm not sure that that's included. If it starts close to the ground and like goes up and then goes down something like that, I think that they say is okay. If it starts on top and then it goes down,
right.
That's I saw the case somewhere and I don't see it right now. I'm looking for it and I don't see it. Okay, I have to check that. Okay, I think that might be different, but I'm not sure. Okay, I'm sorry, I don't remember where it is offhand. I'll have to take a look. Okay. Here, I'm sorry, is this it? Yeah, I'm sorry. Look at the next line of the shoulder. Because let's keep reading and this might answer your question, but it might not. In volume, right where we left off, the environmental mal of Yordan Lamata, okay, if it goes up and then goes down, okay, and the Mishnah Berurah explains in Chaf, he says what happens is basically it went up 3 tefachim, then it went back down again, it was bent down. The makam shein gvohim shlosha asurim, where it's higher than 3 tefachim, it's asur. The makam shein gvohim shlosha mutar, where it's less than 3 tefachim, it's mutar. Okay? So my question is whether this case is your case or not. There's a Mishnah Berurah here also. Again, I'm not sure if it's the same case as your case or not. Because in this case, the first part, the part that's attached to the tree is below 3 tefachim, and part of it goes up and then goes back down again. I have to look at this. It could be that it is the same thing. Mishnah Berurah and Chafal does sound maybe like it's the same thing. Okay, I have to read it a little more carefully.
Okay.
I'm not sure that it definitely is. Yeah, okay, so I'll get back to you about that later. I'm sure it's late next week. It might be the same thing, it might not. I have to check again. They do say if they're one of the roots, which is, you know, what we said, three tefachim, below three tefachim, and the rest of the tree is higher up, and that for sure is okay. I mean, that for sure is okay. Good question. I still have a question about it. I'll get back to that if we did. Apologize, I didn't read this so carefully earlier. Okay, fine. There's a bunch of other details here, which we're not going to go into now, but we got the basic idea of this halacha.
If you're leaving trees, let me know. Are you leaving trees? Are you leaving trees now? Are you leaving trees? No pun intended. When you're done with trees, I have a question. If you're another exception.
I said it was a joke at first.
Leaving the trees.
Okay. No, we're not done with the trees yet, but maybe you want to ask Matt.
The last question is we have hammocks in Atlanta.
So good. So we're getting to it. Very good. That we're going to get to. Excellent. All right. Okay, so we'll get to that.
Attach a ring to it.
Okay.
Indirect.
All right, next. Let's see here. Okay, let's go to that. All right, there's a few things in between on the way here in the Shulchan Aruch, but we'll skip them for now. And this point is directly related to what we were just talking about, so we'll do that first. Look at Sif Yud Gimel in the Shulchan Aruch. And we're skipping that all the way to Sif Yud Gimel. Some of the stuff we did already previously, and some of the things that we're not doing now, had to do with Zoreya and Kotzer, that we did previously about planting or about cutting grass or whatever. Now, we skip to Sif Yud Gimel. So this is basically Moshe's question. So, based on the Gemara, there are gradations to the rule of using a tree. Okay, what does that mean you can't use a tree? So, we know you can't place an object on a tree. And we said you can't take an object off a tree. But let's say that you put an object on a nail or on something which is attached to the tree. But you don't put the object directly on the tree itself. Is that okay? So, one example, again, I don't know who puts a nail, but a nail or something else which is attached to the tree, even a board of wood. We'll get to other cases soon, but something like that. Or let's say like a hammock. Again, I don't know how often people have hammocks in Israel, but...
About a hammock where you have a...
Hold on, so that's the question. So is it mutter or is it usur? Is that included in the issue of using the tree or not?
Right.
So the answer is found in the Gemara, which is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud Gimel. Let's take a look here. Asur lishtamesh kitzdadin ha'ilan, avol tzidei tzdadin mutter. You're not allowed to use the sides of the tree, but you're allowed to use the sides of the sides. What in the world do the sides and the sides of the sides mean? Okay, so if you look here, the Mishnah Berurah explains in Sifkat and Nintet, and he says what it is. Tzedek ha'ilan perish davar ha'tachuv o'kasher ha'ilan. Mikreit tzedek ha'ilan. Anything which is attached, tied, or stuck into the tree. That's
where are
stuck.
You again? Which Sifkat?
Nintet in Mishnah Berurah. Anything which is attached, attached, stuck, or tied to the tree is considered to be studded. Tzedek ha'ilan. All right? That's usher. Okay? So now look at the example, back in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, I didn't read the whole Mishnah, but you got the idea. Look at the next line. Mafichach, back in the Shulchan Aruch. Mafichach, therefore, here's the practical application. You can't lean a ladder on the side of the tree. You take a ladder, and for whatever reason you want to climb up the tree, you lean the ladder on the tree. That's not allowed. All right? That's studim. That's using the tree. Okay, studim is considered included in the gzira of using the tree. Tzachi, salik bay, mishtamish b'tadim. Okay, if you come down a ladder or whatever, you're using basically the studim, the ladder of the tree. So you can't lean the ladder on the tree, and you definitely can't use it afterwards. That's what he's saying here. However, if you have some sort of peg or a nail or a board or something which is stuck in or nailed into the tree, you can lean a ladder on the nail. That's okay. That's called havile yaseit studim. The nail or the peg is considered to be the side of the studim. The sulam tzidei studim. That's basically two steps removed. Okay, the ladder is not leaning on the tree itself, it's leaning on the nail, and the nail is the side. So the nail itself would be a problem, but you can lean something else on the nail. All right. So the tzidei studim basically, again, is two steps removed from using the tree, and that's going to be mutter according to what the rules the Chazal made. So anything that you're going to talk about, there would be a question, again, how often this comes up, but let's say the hammock is a good example. So you're not allowed to tie a hammock directly on the tree. That's tying, that's stubborn, that's not allowed. But if you put a nail into the tree, not on Shabbos, you put a nail into the tree, and then you hang the hammock on the nail, then that's mutter.
So in other words, if you just have two trees, and you put a hook in each tree, and you have a hammock on the two hooks?
That's mutter. And you can
hang it on Shabbos, no problem.
You can go on the hammock on Shabbos, yeah.
So, well, what about a tree fort? Now, every tree fort has, well, let's assume, the way the tree fort is put there. Let's take an example.
A treehouse.
Treehouse.
He's got a serious one.
Yeah. Treehouse is you have two parallel trees like this.
Okay.
And you just put, two boards on either side of the trees, right between the two trees, like two parallel boards.
Good.
And you build on top of the boards between the two trees.
So I was
hoping. The boards are resting on top of nails, let's say, and the nails in the trees.
Okay, good. So I was hoping the Shmir Shabbos would talk about a treehouse, but unfortunately I did not find it here. Unfortunately. So I'll just tell you, based on what we've learned, I'll tell you what I think. Though I should check to see if anybody disagrees with this. I remember Ruby at my talk about it, but I didn't have a chance to check, unfortunately. But based on the rules we're saying, I think the answer should be pretty clear. Wow. Okay, so there's 2 points. Okay, number one is using the tree. In terms of using the tree, so lechora, what you're saying makes sense. Okay, meaning if the tree house is attached to nails, meaning if the tree house is not leaning on the tree itself, okay, in any spot, it's like in the middle of two trees or on the side or whatever, and it's somehow attached to nails or to something else, which is leaning on, which is holding it down, holding it up, so that would be okay. Again, is that how all tree houses are made? To be honest, I don't know. I'm not a tree house. I can't climb
the tree to get up to the
hold tree. That is point two. Even if what we just said now is okay, right. I mean, even if it's definitely not, leaning on the tree directly, you can't climb into the tree to get to the tree house.
Just have a ladder, not just get a ladder, or just lean against whatever, a couple of nails, whatever it is. In other words, it seems that, again, you kind of run into the question of, but what's considered the tree house and what's considered the Sidei HaIlan? Meaning, if you have, like, the supports, are those the treehouse itself a tree, or are those considered Sidei HaIlan?
That's a good question. I have to see it. It's hard to visualize it. I think the point would have to be that anything, any part of wood, which is actually part of the treehouse, it's like the bottom of the treehouse, if that's leaning on the tree, that's a problem. Right. It has to be that there's like extra pieces of wood that are leaning on the tree, and then the treehouse is like separate. Okay, the top, the sides, the bottom, the whole treehouse is leaning on the other piece of wood in some form. If the other piece is sort of supporting it, like one here and one there, and then the treehouse in the middle, leaning on the pieces of wood, but not on the tree in any spot. So in the core, that would be okay. But again,
it's possible then to build a treehouse. If you do,
it's possible. You have to think about it. I think so. Again, I would like to see somebody talk about it. I have to check where Ruby has books.
Stuff in the circle that you say you try to put a piece of wood on top of metal stuff, so you don't stock directly the metal stuff. Just as a parallel.
It's interesting parallels. The halachos don't have to be the same, right. But it's a nice, you're right. It's an interesting, it's a similar idea. Even though it's not based on the same principles. Okay, Yashkwa, that's good. Okay, good. So that's basically the halacha of studim and sidei studim. There could be other applications also, but I think the treehouse and hammock are the most practical ones that I can think of. They're most common.
And I have seen eye rings. They put a nail in with a big ring on it. They've tied rope. Uh-huh. I mean, you think a nail is going to fall right off. They have big eye rings put into the trees, and they use those hammocks. Whatever.
So you have a tree swing, for instance, like a tire swing in a tree. If you can make it this way, you can have a tire swing in a tree.
If you make it that way, correct. Yeah, I guess that's another good example. Like a tire, one of those kind of things. I've seen those. So same idea. Okay? The Ramah there, just mentioned now, I told you before, but it's right here, so just read it. The Ramah, after the halacha we just read, which is about the ladder, and then afterwards he talks about a basket. The Mishnah Shulchan talks about a kalkala, which is a basket. Same idea. Okay, if it's on a peg, then it's okay. If it's on a tree directly, then it's not okay. And then the Ramah says, you're allowed to touch the tree, as long as you don't move the tree. Okay? As we said before, if you move the tree, that's going to be a problem. But if you just touch the tree, then it's okay. And we said before, you're not allowed to lean completely on the tree either. All right. One other point about leaning on the tree that we didn't mention before. Where is it? We missed it before. It's in Sifka and Samach Gimel. Where is it? Yeah. It's right over here, actually. It's right fine for you. Okay, I'm skipping a lot of stuff here on the way. Okay, it's right in the middle of Sifkat and Salah Gimel. Alright, I'm skipping the first half of Salah Gimel. Right in the middle of Salah Gimel, he says, Ulihisha'in Be'ilan, okay, to lean on the tree, which we mentioned before. Im ha'adam bari mutar. Okay, so he says that if you lean on the tree, if you're totally healthy, so then maybe it's okay to lean on a tree. Tash koach asur. If you're weak, then you can't lean on a tree. What's the reason? If you lean on the tree, you're not leaning all of your weight on the tree. Okay, you're leaning a little bit on the tree. That's okay. Well, that's not called using the tree. If you're a little bit weak, then you're really leaning completely with all of your weight on the tree. That's a problem. And that's called using the tree. That's usher. Okay? And then he says, that's all, again, when you don't move the tree. If you move the tree, even a regular person, if you move the tree, when you lean on it, that's going to be usher. So again, when we say that leaning on the tree is usher, okay, so he says, basically, that's not true for a healthy person. And what they point out here, again, we're not going to read it inside, but the Be'er Halacha and the Aruch HaShulchan, quoted in the Shmir Shabbos here, basically, they say that that's true when the Again, when the tree itself is strong. Okay, so again, the tree can't move. If the tree moves at all, then you're not allowed to. And even if the tree doesn't move, so you can't lean with all your weight on the tree. So somebody who's weak can't lean on the tree. Even if you're strong, you're a healthy person, but you lean with all your weight on the tree, ki'ilu, if the tree was taken away, you would fall down. Okay, that's not allowed either. But again, that's not normal. Normal case is when you just lean a little bit on the tree, so that's why the Mishnah Berurah is saying that it's okay. All right, did we get that? Just review again. Again, you can't lean on a tree on Shabbos, but leaning on a tree is defined as leaning with all of your weight. So therefore, a weak person that really leans with all their weight because they can't stand so well, that would be, whatever that means, that would be not allowed. A healthy person, which is only leaning a little bit on the tree, that would be mutter, unless the tree begins to move. If the tree is going to move or the branches are going to move, that's usser. And a healthy person, if he leans with all his weight on the tree, that would also be usser. Again, that's not so common, so that's why the Mishnah Berurah doesn't address that directly. That's the way that it's summarized in the Mishnah Berurah. And the Shmir Shavas Kilchasa are based on additional comments in the Be'er Halacha, which we didn't read in the Aruch HaShulchan also. Okay. All right. That's based on the Be'er Halacha. The Aruch HaShulchan might not have read that, but that's what the Be'er Halacha says. Okay. All right. Let's see here. Let's go back. We have a couple other Nafkaminas which we didn't get to yet. Let's see if we can finish them. When it comes to Kotzer. Look at Si'if Yud. Okay, see if you. The Shulchan Aruch says, are you allowed to smell fruit on the tree on Shabbos? So he says that the following. Hadas mechubar mutar l'ariach. If you have a hadas or something like that, rushes or vegetables or whatever, which is attached to the guy, you're allowed to smell it. Aval esrog v'sapuach, an esrog or a fruit, like an apple or whatever.
Hadas meaning what, a branch?
Yeah, myrtle branch.
No, the leaves. Leaves,
exactly. Not a tree, not a fruit. Uh-huh. Fruit. Which goes on a tree, which you can eat, but you can't smell it when it's attached. Why shall we have kotzer solachlo? Because maybe you're going to detach it and eat it. Okay? That's a gzeira. So you're not allowed to smell a fruit on a tree on Shabbos because you might detach it and eat it. All
right? Flowers are okay, right?
So flowers and hadas and things like that, the achron say are permissible. Uh-huh. Okay, because those things, you don't usually, most of the benefit you get is from smelling it. We're not concerned that you're going to eat the hadas or eat the flower. Okay, now you could say today, you would pick the flower and put it on your table, but Chazal didn't make that zera, so we don't make that zera. So that's what the only issue is for fruit. Okay?
So flowers, yes, you said.
Yeah, you're allowed to smell flowers on Shabbos. Okay? That's also, I think the Mishnah points it out, but it's from the Shulchan Aruch, so you can see the idea of it.
Now, the smell, you're even allowed to, I mean, if not on a tree, if not on a bush or something.
Yeah, same thing as the flowers.
Would you be allowed to move them?
Yeah, what does it mean to move it though?
Well, let's say, want to get a better smell, so you want to pull it toward your nose smell. You can do that, right?
I think it seems like you're allowed to. That's what you're still going for. Okay. Apparently, in the times of the Mishnah Berurah, he talks about the people used to take off fruit from the tree on Shabbos. He says you got to tell people that they can't do that. Right? I think today people know that. That's a problem. Okay. So smelling the fruit is usher. Okay, one other nafkamina, and that is, what about fruit that fell off the tree on Shabbos? Can you pick up fruit that fell off the tree on Shabbos or use it?
No.
So that, the answer is no. That's a special gzeira in the Gemara called Keres Shenashru, fruit that fell off the tree. And the concern is, again, if you use that, you may come to take off more fruit. That's not mentioned in our
sermon.
It's also mutza, you're right, it's also mutza. Okay, it's both. It's also... Okay? It's not here, it's in the Shifa Bet.
Let me ask you, in terms of this issue... Let's say, I don't know, let's say you have an orange tree in your yard, you look before Shabbos,
and
there's only one orange on the ground there. You see where it is, one orange on the ground before Shabbos began. On Shabbos, then could you go pick up that orange?
Yeah.
You could.
If you know for sure that orange is before Shabbos,
you could.
Yeah, that's allowed. However, if you're not sure, again, if you want to look it up, it's in Simon Shin Chav Bet. Simon Shin Chav Bet Sid Bet. It says there, Sid Gibel. There's perish and ashram in ha'ilam b'shabbos, asurim b'bayom. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to use them. If they fall from the tree, again, gzeira, you might come to cut off more. And the achronim say, it's in the Mishnah Berurah there also, that even if you're not sure, maybe it fell off the tree on Shabbos. You don't know which one was which. Some fell off, some beforehand, some fell off today. You don't know when, who, what. You're not allowed to. Even if it's suffix, you have to be machmir. That's what they say. Why? So, they say maybe you can wait till tomorrow to pick it up, or whatever. Darash Yishlam Atir, the principle. That something which you could wait till the next day and then you could use it, so we're not making on Shabbos, even in a case like this where you're not sure which one is which. Okay? And there are other examples also, but how common is that for people to pick up fruit from the ground on their... Does anybody actually go and eat fruit that fell on the ground, fell on the floor in your garden? Maybe.
You don't have any good fruit trees. If you have some good fruit trees, they would think
right.
That.
Right. Okay. Anyway, it's not the most common case, but it's important to know that.
You could have a trimming and mastoid issue. So
okay.
Maybe it's all right. I don't know.
If you'd outside, you don't have trimming mice. You pick it up right. The tree, you got to eat it.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. In a few at a time. Not a lot. Okay. Very good. That's the last nachmina for Kotzer in terms of Paris Shinashru. From that, let's move quickly. We have only a few minutes. We'll start Ma'amar. We're not going to finish Ma'amar today. We'll just start. It's very short. We should be able to finish within 10 minutes the next year. Basically, unless you want to stay extra time now, I don't think we should do that. Ma'amar is this gathering. Ma'amar and the Melachas is gathering fruits from the field. Meaning after you do coats or you harvest your food or your produce, then what you do is you gather it all in one spot. And from gathering it, eventually you're going to bring it to your place to thresh it, to the threshing floor. To start, you know, getting the outside off and take the inside. But Ma'amar is basically the gathering into one spot. That's not allowed. Now, there's only one or two major nachminas when it comes to this. And one of them actually is in Shin Chav Bet, where I was just reading from, right there in the Mishnah Berurah actually talks about it.
Where again?
Shin Chav Bet, in the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Kavan Vav. He says, right in the middle, Sikkot and Vav, and Simon Shin Chabet, he says, Vida. He says, Vida. Da filu im yodea shenashru be'er Shabbos, even if you know that they fell off the tree on Friday, Eino mutarak lo akeda chadacha lo'acho. All you could do is pick one, basically take one off the ground and eat it, if you're not too scared to eat it off the ground. Avala so kam peres bi'acha, but to gather 10 fruits together that fell on the ground, even if you know they fell off before Shabbos, the issue was a Yisr Gomer. That's totally usher. As we'll see later on, the chol davar shecham kavit makom gidul don l'ma'amer. Anything which basically you gather together a bunch of them in the place where they grew, that's similar to ma'amer. Okay, and Mishnah Berurah says that's karav l'chiyuv chatos. Okay, so if you want to see the halacha inside, basically it's from the Gemara, but now if you jump to someone Shin Mem, sorry, I'm rushing, jumping all over the place here, Shin Mem, that's where this halacha is mentioned. Okay, these are basically the only one or two applications, practicalities and ma'amer. Someone Shin Mem, all the way at the end. If Yud and Yud Aleph. I'm sorry, ten Yud. Ten Yud. We'll look at Yud. Now you're going to tell us to do for next time. So then Shin Mem, see if Yud. You'll tour the force of Mishnah Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch. So it says, have a comment to debate. Okay, if you gather together dates, whatever. But something that equal, and you make a little circle thing. I'm sorry, figs. I thought you were right. Figs. Sorry. I always get confused between the figs and the dates. So you make it equal. Oh, shenakav tein and v'yichnis achemel b'hem. Or you made a hole in the tehenim, which is the figs, other kinds of figs. V'yichnis achemel. Sorry, the velos are, I think, are pressed figs and tein are regular figs. V'yichnis achemel b'hem. You put the rope in them. Achenis katsu gufecha. That's all they got gathered together as one guf. How is a tolus ma'amer b'chayev? You're chayev as a tola of ma'amer. What's going on here? So in this case, this actually is even the second application. So maybe we should have read it second, I apologize, but we read it already, so I'll just explain it. If you have fruits or something that grows from the ground, okay, ma'amar does not apply to like pebbles or to like toys, but it applies to things that grow from the ground. So if you have figs or something else that grows from the ground, and you string them together like in a necklace, so that's a problem of ma'amar according to this. This is from the, it's not straight from the Gemara, it's from the Rambam.
But if the figs are already separated.
Yeah, meaning you gather, what you're doing is you're gathering them together.
But in other words, let's assume this is already in your kitchen. You just have a bunch of figs
okay,
in your
so
kitchen.
So that's the question. Now we're going to have to say for next time. That's correct. So that's what we're going to have to say for next time. It seems from the Gemara and from the Rambam and from the Shulchan Aruch Sif Tes that it's only if it's where they grow. Oh. Look back at Sif Tes now. Again, but you're right. It's a question. It's not something. Look back at Sif Tes for a second. In Sif Tes, it says here that also the Kabbat's Melech and Mitzvos HaMelech, that you can't gather salt together from places where you make salt. Salt actually also comes from the ground, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not the same thing as fruit, but it is something which comes from the ground. Shadol ma'amar. So salt is similar to ma'amar. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you gather together things, big chunks of salt or whatever, that's similar to ma'amar. V'chein asher l'chavetz kol davar b'makom gidulo. And similarly, you're also not allowed to gather together anything from the place where it grows. So if the place where it grows, it's clear from the Shulchan Aruch Sif Tes that you're not allowed to do so, which basically most of the time is talking about, you know, fruits and vegetables and things like that. But then And Sif Yud, what we just read, it sounds like, you know, the question is he talking about in your kitchen when you're gathering together these figs and putting them in a necklace? Where is that taking place? Is it taking place inside your house or in the garden? If it's in the garden, I understand. It's where it grew. But if it's in your house, then you're right. We just said that you can't, you can only, the only issur is where it grew. So, so that's a question, all right? Mm-hmm. And I go to the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Kasam Lan Ches, he says, in the middle of that Lan Ches in the Mishnah, he says, the Nishmas Adam, who's the Chai Adam, he said, the Akash doesn't give a bias. Even if you do it in the house, Chai Mishamamar, it's still Mamar. It's Chai, it's Doraisa. Devotan Kazet Asabas was Gamma Bias Kivasada, because when you string a necklace, that's a normal thing to do in the house also. So you see, even the Mamar is a very small malacha, but the rules are a little bit sketchy. It's hard to say exactly what the rules are. Okay, it's hard to pin your hand. You know, could you say that a kid's toy, you know, making a necklace with beads, is that a problem of Mamar? So again, I think most people say that it's not a problem because, again, it didn't grow from the ground. Even if you would say that to make a necklace out of fruits or vegetables in the house is also because they grow from the ground and it's normal to do it in the house, but if it's something which is like a not unnatural, it's synthetic, or it's something that you make, it's not something that grows from the ground. So I think everybody would agree that when it comes to beads or something like that, that it wouldn't be a problem.
So we have a basket of apples, right?
Yeah.
And it spells in the house.
So that's a question. So that's, we have to fix this up, okay? I would say, again, we'll finish them next week. Okay, we'll take another minute or two next week to finish this up. But it would seem to be that in that situation, maybe that's not included. I mean, gathering apples into a bowl is not really something which you normally do in the house. Okay, that's something you do in the field. Making a necklace with beads, not beads, making a necklace with something, that's a house activity. That's a natural house activity. But we'll finish it next week. Okay, there's another Mishnah Berurah, which we didn't read the whole thing. We'll flesh it a little more next week, and I'll read you Mishnah Shabbos next week also.
What about raking up leaves? Is that involved in Mahamir at all, raking up leaves?
It might be.
Now, maybe there are other problems also, but is that also possibly Mahamir?
Might be.
Well, it's
usually you're not managing to the leaves, you're interested in getting rid of the leaves.
Right.
Okay, right.
So maybe that makes it better, but we have to see, okay? Still, if your point is both
that does very much. Collecting things on the field where they grew.
So next week, later next week, there's one or two elephants on the Shmir Shabbos. We'll wrap this up next week. Okay, we'll just go over Amr very quickly and try to put it together. Okay, for a little bit of machshava here. So this week I have Sefer from called Ali Shur from Rav Wolbe. If you heard of him, he's a big mashgiach in Yerushalayim. He just passed away, I think, how long ago? 5 years ago? 7 years ago? I don't remember exactly. So he's a big star that he wrote called Ali Shur. Very, very nice Musser and Machshava here for, you know, modern people. He frames it in like a modern, contemporary context. So it was very nice. He's got a little piece on Shabbos here also, so just read a little bit of the Shabbos piece this week and maybe we'll do a little more next week. So he says that Shabbos is the only mitzvah that is not presented to us as a mitzvah, as an obligation, but rather as a matana. Okay, God gave it to us as a present. And this is what the Gemara says in Shabbos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, he says, Matana Tova Yesh Beis Kenazai, I have a nice gift for you in my Beit Kenazim, I guess it's called. It's like my storehouse, my treasury, I guess is the best word for it. And its name is Shabbos. Okay, and I want to give it to the Jewish people. Go and take it. Lech Bodiyam, go and tell them. All right? So there's drushes also about what it means, go and tell them, go and inform them. That's an interesting idea, which we're not going to talk about now. But he says that here, Wolbe says the idea here, you know, we see that Shabbos is not just a mitzvah, it's not an obligation, it's a present. God gave us a special gift. Okay? Yeah, sometimes we recognize that, sometimes we don't. But certainly the rest of the world does not recognize it. Okay, Shabbos is a gift. It's not a limitation, as we talked about last time, it's a gift. It's the mitzvah of the Kedusha and the Pnimius, the inner essence and holiness of Shabbos. That is not, again, we was taller last time, he says the same thing here also, it's not something which is physical, even though it manifests itself in physical ways many times on Shabbos, what we do, but the inner essence of Shabbos is not physical. Okay, that's what Hashem wanted to give us as a gift. Okay, this is also the bracha we make on Shabbos in Kiddush is not Asher Kiddush Shabbos Tzav Vetzivanu. Okay, Asher Kiddush Shabbos Tzav Derat Salvanu. Hashem wanted us, He desired us. The Shabbos Kachal Yavav Ratzon Hin Chivanu. He gave us it as an inheritance. Okay, a nachala. Okay, he says Shabbos is different. Hashem wanted to give us Shabbos, to let us inherit Shabbos. Hashem didn't command us to keep Shabbos as an obligation. Okay? Yes, it is an obligation, but that's not the purpose and that's not the context of Shabbos. Okay? So that's point number one. Okay, that we spoke about this last time, but again, to remember that Shabbos is not supposed to be just a list of don'ts. Okay? We learn here in Hilchos Shabbos, all things you can't do on Shabbos. But in order for Shabbos to be what it's supposed to be, the context of Shabbos can't be don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. It has to be we're trying to get ourselves to a certain elevated spiritual platform, again, with physical elements along the way, obviously, with eating and drinking, And part of the way of doing that, the means to the end, is that you have to avoid certain aspects of halacha. And that's all the detailed halacha that we're learning, of course, is to avoid that in order to get us to the higher spiritual point. But at the end of all, be all of Shabbos is don't do this and don't do that and don't do that, you miss the goal, and Shabbos will not be the matzah that Hashem wanted it to be. This, by the way, and you should, I'll get back to it. Okay, I'll just read one point here, and then I'll finish up with the other point I was going to mention. So he continues here. He says that Shabbos is a mitzvah of a zman of kedusha. Okay, the reality of Shabbos is that it's a time of holiness. And he says that he quotes here actually from Rav Dessler, the same piece we read last time, but no, we didn't read this part. He says that famous idea that a person goes through time. It's not that time goes past the person, but a person walks through time. Okay, and he says that the Shabbos of creation is basically the first stop. It's the first station in time. And every week you walk, you get to the same station. You're traveling through time. And every Shabbos you stop at the station, you know, the Shabbos station, right? Same station that was created in Shabbos Bereishis, and the same element of Kedusha and Hashpa that took place from Shabbos Bereishis comes back at us every single week. And he concludes here. He says that it was, you know, great Rabbanim felt the Kedusha in a certain way. He quotes certain Rabbanim here, Lopian, it's here in Israel for a while, I think in Kfar Hasidim, and from Europe, and he told, I'm sorry, it wasn't him, he told about his Rebbe from Kelm, Simcha Zissel of Kelm, that during the week he looked like he was dead. Well, Mace Mamish, his face was like drooping and all white, whatever, and suddenly on Shabbos, suddenly his cheeks got all red, he was alive. Okay, he says that his face changed so much on Shabbos that a new Talmud that came into the yeshiva saw him during the week. When he came on Shabbos, he saw it looks like there's a new mashgiach on Shabbos. Okay, mashgiach miyuchad, a greater mashgiach on Shabbos. Okay, it's not the same person that he saw during the week. He looks so different. Can you believe that? Mm-hmm. And he said about himself actually. That he had a chush b'Shabbos, he had a certain feeling of Shabbos. I mean, he felt the kedusha when Shabbos came. He says, not like us, we have to look at our watch and, oh, is it camera right there? Is it time? And he just felt it. The kedusha of Shabbos just came on him. And, you know, he became like a different person on Shabbos. That's the idea of Hashem blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Okay, the bracha on the kedusha is just Shabbos itself. Okay, just the idea that the Shabbos is different. So I'll just conclude with two points. Number one, what he's saying here, you know, is that really us? I don't know. Maybe I'm not sure if it's us. Do we really feel like we're a different person on Shabbos? But that's how you want to feel. I mean, if you want to get to this point, the Kedusha of Shabbos, to feel that's your stop. You want to feel that I am not the same person on Shabbos that I am during the week. And there are people today that have this. Okay, you go to the Karbach Moshav Modi'in. Have you ever been there? Okay, but you know, during the week, the people, okay, they do whatever they do, whatever. It's poor, it's not so much money and whatever. And on Shabbos, the people are totally different. It's a whole different world. Suddenly, like an old Mamash and Olam Haba, Mamash and Gan Eden. You know, you can imagine. No, it's amazing transformation. Even here, I'm not going to say any names, but one or two people that I think of automatically that you may know who I'm talking about. That you see sometimes that on Friday night, you see that suddenly they're transformed when Shabbos begins and get into davening and singing and dancing, and their Mamash transforms. It's a completely different creature, a different person. You know? So that's, you know, the part of the goal of what's to get to on Shabbos is to feel that you're not the same person as you are during the week. Mm-hmm. The Kedusha of Shabbos and the station, the stop of Shabbos, is the same as Shabbos Bereishis. It's a stop of holiness which doesn't exist the rest of the week that allows you, if you tap into it, to really change and to develop your Neshama Yisera and really get to a higher level that's not really you. It's suddenly it's a new you, a different you on Shabbos than the rest of the week. Just to conclude, just what we said before at the beginning about understanding Shabbos is a matana. So this is, I think, something which we really, really have to give over to our kids, okay? It's a little easier here than in chutzpah, right? So chutzpah is even harder. But even here, it's challenging. You know, kids feel that, you know, if Shabbos is not what they want it to be, they feel strapped in, they're limited, they can't do this and they can't do that. And our goal as parents and whatever, you know, and educators, whatever it is to be able to give our kids the sense of the matana of Shabbos. The Shabbos is a gift. And Shabbos is the positive that we're getting to. It's not all the restrictions that we're learning about here. That's only a means to the end. Okay, they're very important, these obviously. Then you get skila if you do it, if you violate it. But, you know, but the point is that it's so important to get to the end that you have to have such severe restrictions along the way, because otherwise you won't have Shabbos the way it's supposed to be. It will not be this special, special day if you're busy, as we talked about last time, checking your cell phone every second and going on the computer and climbing on trees and gathering things and trying to do every single halacha possible in the book. You know, you can't get there. So, Bezer Hashem, we should be able to appreciate and to internalize for ourselves and for our families the idea of Shabbos being a matanah and a gift and something special and something which makes us different than the rest of the day. We really change as a person. And Mizrach Hashem, we should be able to gain everything that Shabbos has to offer us.
Amen, amen. Shkoach.